God works in seasons, right? He works in seasons, and it's always important to look at what God has done, and it's always important to look at the new season that God is bringing us into. We're in 15 days of prayer, and the word of the Lord, we're in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, as we've been looking at how Jesus instructed the disciples when they were about to enter into a new season, something they'd never experienced before. The challenges were great. The fear was probably greater. What Jesus said, this is what you need. Obviously, school's going to start this week. Our teachers are already gearing back up. As families, their new season's beginning in us. And so I want us together to continue to hear God's call, that he wants to take us deeper than ever before. For the 15 days of prayer, and it finishes today, we've been praying to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit in our own lives and in our church. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at this call that Jesus said, don't try to go where I'm asking you to go without everything I died to give you. Don't try to go there without my power, without my presence. And so 2 weeks ago, we started looking at this passage right here, and we're going to look at that and then move into Acts chapter 2. And I just want to encourage you that, I don't know if this is going to, if this is okay to say it this way, but God wants to move you today. He doesn't want you to hear something today. He wants to move you to a new place and the next step today. So I just want to encourage you to prepare your hearts. This is the word of God. And it has power in it to break all the lies and feelings and confusion of this world. So would you read out loud with me, Jesus speaking to the disciples about a new season? It's going to be this slide and the next one. Would you read it out loud with me as I kind of lead us verbally? Let's read together. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a moment to let that sink in. God's speaking that to you and I today. Don't go further without being fully immersed in my power and presence. Don't try to tackle what you're about to tackle without it. And then this next passage, let's read it all aloud together. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This word receive, we talked about, means to, it can, one of the meanings is it's like stepping into a river. We've got to choose to step into what God has. So 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, we looked at this passage and we said, look, before you start a new season, Jesus says we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that idea of baptized is to be fully immersed. You ever been to a church service, but half your head is thinking about something else? That's not immersion. That's not fully. To immersed is what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm hoping for. Everything is all in, right? All in. That's this idea. Jesus says, real practical. Are you really going to try to start that new season and not be all in? Like, give me everything because I've got everything for you. This issue of be his witness, not go do something. We talked about we need to be of a different spirit. And the gift and the calling of Christianity is not I'm going to be a better person. I'm not going to go from bad to good. I'm going to go from dead to alive in the spirit. And I'm just of a different spirit. It's my 9th year church anniversary in leadership. And every anniversary, I take time to wash feet as a reminder of what real leadership is all about in the kingdom of God. And so I'll do that at the end of this service. That's a different spirit than the world, right? It's like, why are you doing that? Or just that idea of like, no, a real leader just tells what everybody else to do. It's like, no, we're of a different spirit. And remember, we talked about, wouldn't half our problems go away without doing anything if we were just of a different spirit? Just who we were, how we addressed the spirit of the way we handled our marriage, family, our workplace. Jesus has that for us. And then we talked about receive the power, the ability to actually do it. Some of us were in the middle of relationships and places and emotions where and habits, we need a new power to do would what we do. I was on anniversary. One of my favorite signs I saw was you're going to all these quaint little gift shops and stuff. We're down in Florida, and the one sign said, "I used to be addicted to the Hokey Pokey, but then I turned myself around." Okay, so yeah, that's. We all need some power to turn ourselves around. It's not coming from us or a really catchy song. All right. We need to step into the river. I talked about us being at the river this last week, and it has an impact on you just seeing it. Just seeing the river has an impact on you. Like, wow, it's nice to just remember nature, creation. It has an impact on you hearing it. It's just soothing. But it's not the same as stepping into it and getting moved by it, right? And the Holy Spirit's inviting us to be moved. Move from where we are to where we need to be. And so Jesus promises to the disciples, he promises the impossible is going to happen in our personal lives and in our community when we receive, that is, again, step into the baptism, full immersion, my thoughts, my voice, my everything about me. I'm all in, God. I want you. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus made a pretty big promise to all of us. He said, "I've come that they may have life and may have it to the full." Jesus made a really big promise to us. That he made that promise in the middle of a world that is trying to empty us out, trying to dry us up, trying to get us, anxiety and depression are more the spirit we're of than anything else. I mean, the world is trying to go the exact opposite, and Jesus made this promise. But he said, look, impossible things will happen, but you got to follow after me. And Jesus himself, full of the Holy Spirit, ministered. And so we need to follow after him. And I want you to just see that there are things that are not the answer to the promises of God. There are just things. Sometimes it helps us to know what not to do, what not to depend on. Why don't you read out loud with me? Good luck saying Zerubbabel. All right, here we go. Read it out loud with me. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. There's this guy, we're just going to call him Z, right? And he's got a major calling and a major task, really major business to do. He's in charge of building the temple. And God says through the prophet, hey Z, look, this is not happening by your strength. And this is not happening by your ability. Not it's by my spirit this is going to happen. What God has for you, the impossible promises, it's not my strength. It's not you're strong enough to hang in there. It's not your ability. It's his spirit. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Read this one with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Well, if we're going to get to where we're going, it's not going to be on this, right? It's not my own understanding that's going to get me to where I need to go. It's not my own wisdom, my understanding, and how many times do I lay it awake at night, I'm trying to understand it and figure it out. It's like, look, that's not what you should be leaning on. Come on, let me do it. Let's read this one together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It's not how much I ask, not my passion, it's not how desperate I am. I mean, it's good to be broken, it's good to be, but it's not because I ask, not because I'm super passionate this is going to happen. And it's not because I'm creative and I'm unique and I've just got all this creativity, I can imagine different things. Like, this is not how the full life Jesus promises happening. This is throughout the Bible. God's saying, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by your understanding. You know, it's just like God has all these amazing promises, and I realize, though, I've got one big problem. I've got one big obstacle to all the promises God has for me. You know what it is? It's me. It's me. It's what I think. It's what I can do. It's what I feel. It's what I face. It's what I can what I can do, how I can. It's me. I'm the obstacle. Because this is not by my might, nor by power. It's not by my understanding. It's not by me asking. I mean, I've got to do my part. We're going to talk about stepping in, but it's Him. And somehow, we've got this thing. I mean, Paul says in Galatians, he says, you started out in the Spirit. I was the one who rescued you. I'm the one who changed you. I'm the one who came in when you weren't looking for me and when you didn't know you needed me. I'm the one who did all these things outside of your power, your ability, your understanding. But now you're trying to live the rest of this life by everything you can do. Get back to the Spirit. Get back to what I have for you. And don't just go a little bit. Man, fully immersed. This mind, this mouth, this heart, everything. And I just want you to see that God's impossible promises and His promised lands are based on one thing, that every part of us, I mean, is immersed and moved by the Holy Spirit. When I said it two Sundays ago, when I got in that river, I didn't have to try to move down the river. It wasn't my ability. I didn't decide which way I was going. The river said, this is where you're going. This is where you're going. And I want you to see in Acts chapter 2, the very beginning of the church, how does Jesus start the most important work on earth? He starts it not by anything anybody understands, not by anything anybody can do, not by anything anybody plans. He does it because there's a group of people decide to just step in to the river, just step into the, just Holy Spirit, move me where you want me to be. That's all they do. And the world changes forever. Look at this with me. I'm going to read it. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest over each of them. The day of Pentecost, this is the day of ingathering. There's a lot of religious background, but you know what the current event is? All these disciples are hiding in a room because their leader was just killed and they're not sure they're not next. And God said, you should go make disciples. Jesus said, and they're like, yeah, we'd like to just make tomorrow. That's what we'd like. But they take some time praying together. They're in this place where they're just immersed in who God is. They're not planning a citywide outreach campaign. They're not planning how to dialogue with the leaders about they should have a change of mind who Jesus was. They're not doing any of that. All they're doing is they're just doing what Jesus said, just pray and wait and want what I've got for you. That's all they're doing. And this idea of a wind comes in, and that's always the idea of the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And over each of them, this idea of a tongue of fire, the idea of God's presence was now with them personally. Fire was always a symbol of God's presence. When the temple in the Old Testament was created, the fire showed up. It was the idea of God saying, my presence is with you. You, not them, not in a crowd. You, it's with you. And there's some of us here today, man, I don't know if it's we don't think enough of it ourselves or we just kind of, I don't know what it is, but it's like, yeah, God's with them, but not with me. And God wants to change that today. He wants to move you. He's like, no, I'm with you. And what happens next? It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the idea of filled, we've talked about this in the past, for a glass to be filled, it's got to overflow. Because until it overflows, it's not full. There's room for more. And so here they're filled with the overflow. They start overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And they begin to speak. And really this idea of praying, because that's what they were doing. They were praying. Right? They were in the upper room praying together. They start praying in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. They start having a relationship. I want you to know this. They start having a relationship with God that's more than they understand and is more than the words they can say. All of a sudden, God's more than just how they define and what they can say, what they can bring to the table. God's doing something new in their lives. And it says, now there's a whole bunch of people staying in Jerusalem, and all these nations, all these cultures, all these politics and storylines, they're all there. And they say, you know, you're not even thinking about us. You're just, you know, the disciples are just spending this time lost in God's presence, even though all their circumstances are difficult. They got pressure. They need to make plans. But they've just got lost in God's presence. They've just got filled with who He is. And the people around them start saying, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, amazed and perplexed. In other words, there's a group of people of a different spirit. And people are like, why are you like that? Why are you like that when all of us are like this? Why are you about that when all of us are about this? There's a different spirit. They're amazed and perplexed. And they ask one another, what does this mean? Which is, I mean, hopefully someone's asking you about that in your work. Like, why are you different? Why are you different? What's looking there? And, of course, you've got those guys who are just like, yeah, we don't care. We're just going to make fun of them. But I want you to notice what happens next. Peter stands up after he's had this personal time that's more than his words can explain. He's the idea of praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. God gives me a prayer language when I don't know what to say, when I don't know how to describe what's next, but I still need something from God. God says, let me help you out. All right, he's just filling me. I'm having a relationship more than my own words. But Peter stops and now says, okay, now let's just talk, you and I, in ways you can understand. Let's do practical things to help you understand. Let me explain what you're experiencing that's so different in us. It's beautiful, right? And he goes through, he shares scripture with them, and then he just says, Peter finishes by saying, you need to repent, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and be baptized, water baptized. Just forgiveness of sin, right? The two sides of the coin. Christianity is forgive me and fill me. And it's both. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will then, here's this word, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who feel, yeah, that's not for me. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Here's a group of people. I want you to think about it. I want you to picture Jesus ahead of time saying, okay, here's what we're going to do, disciples. I'm going to get you in a prayer meeting, and then let's all have you speak in a different language, and then that's going to get a bunch of people's attention, all the people who killed your leader, and then what's going to happen off of that is they're going to want to know more, and 3,000 people are going to come. Let's run that play. And all the disciples are going, what are you talking about? You want me to do what? Like, I don't understand how that could possibly work. Oh, you don't understand. Yeah, I don't know that I can. Peter's like, I haven't been too successful in being confronted about Jesus. I don't know that I could do that. Oh, so it's about what you can do. Well, you know, I'm not sure I can build up the courage to. So now it's about your ability. And it's like, no, the day of Pentecost, Jesus starts the church the way the church should always be, and that is by depending on him and him alone. It's not about what people understand. It's not what people say. It's not what they can do. It's about what he does. That's our job, is just step in and let him move us where he wants us to be. There's no way the disciples could imagine where they were going to end up by getting lost in God's presence. And see, you and I, we want God to do these things. We want him to move us, but then we're trying to calculate it all and figure it all out. And if we don't understand and if we don't think we can do it, we say no. And so I want you just a few observations. Observation number one, the impossible became insignificant when they were immersed in God's eternal love and greatness. The disciples, the whole city hated them. There was no way anything was going to change. They had no plan, no go-to, and it all didn't matter the moment they got in God's presence. Hey, a lot of us are in this spot today. I want you to hear this. Maybe it's in our own head, in our own body, in our own emotions. Maybe it's in the circumstances. You know, it's ironic that until you get lost in God's presence, you'll probably not find your way in this life. Because God's not waiting for your understanding. He's waiting for all of you to be given to him. That's all he's asking for. But he's just asking, man, just step on in. So here's the application. You don't fix your problems by giving them your greatest focus. Because then you're worshiping it. That's not the answer to your problem. The irony is your answer is not fixing your problem. Your answer is fixing your heart and all that you are on his presence, and you can't imagine where you'll end up if you'll do that. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll get you where you need to go. You gotta make sure. I mean, this scripture, I love, man. When we were worshiping, here, Psalm 47, read out loud with me. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Man, we just sang about that. He's the King. And he's not waiting for us to figure it out. He's waiting for us to fall in love with him. Because he's got the rest planned. What's awesome in your life? What's awesome in your life today? What makes you stop? What makes you stop and not be able to do anything else? The disciples, man, they had all these problems, and they just got lost in his presence, and all of a sudden they found their way. And some of us, man, you know, so let me ask you this question. Bucket or baptism? Which version of Christianity are you living out? Which one am I living out? Because here's the deal. You know what I realized? God showed this to me. He said, Sean, half the time, you want to go a different way than I want to move you. But you still come to my presence. And you know what you do? You take a whole bucket, and you take some of that living water, and then you hoof it back to your garden of weeds over here to water them. Then you hoof it back again when they're dying. So you're showing up at the river, but the only reason you're showing up the river is to grab a bucket of water and go back where you want to be. That's an exhausting way to live. And the fruit's not very good. And God's like, which one you want, Sean? You want to keep watering where you want to be? Or you want to just decide to be where I want you to be? Paul kind of says that when he talks about Christians who are still of the flesh, it's this idea of like, I still want to do what I want to do, but I just want you to bless it. Like, help me go my way, God. And, you know, and God's gracious, and he's with it, and take a bucket of water and go heave it back over here. But this is just exhausting. And I want to encourage you today. There's two ways to live your Christian life. You can break your back with a bucket, or you can get on in. Just get on in, because he's faithful. Now, observation number two, and this is important. Experiencing God's greatness and love was beyond the words that the disciples knew. Application here. Praying in the Spirit is actually a pretty logical response to a God and a life that's more than you understand. I don't know how many of you understand the idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the idea of receiving a prayer language, but doesn't it make sense that God is a God beyond your own words? And if you're depending on your own words to have a relationship with God, how's that going to go? I literally, just the other day, Hey, pray for me. Yeah, praying for you. What do you need? I've got no idea. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, so God's out until I know what to say to him? Until I can understand what I need? God's no longer a factor in my life? Well, who's God then? It's not him. Like, God doesn't need our words. He doesn't need our understanding to move us. But we've got to be willing to. And so there's this idea that, look, the disciples, when they got lost in God's presence, when they saw the greatness of God, man, they had to say something. Because you don't respond to victory. You don't respond to beauty. You don't respond to greatness and not say anything. And if you don't believe me, ask all the guys who were watching college football yesterday. You're telling me when your team scored or won, you were like, that's how you were? Or were you like, yeah, yeah, yeah? Like, you didn't have words, did you? But you were saying something. Why? Because you saw something great, right? Like, you saw what you were hoping for. You saw what was good. How much more so when we get in the presence of God? Yes. Yeah. I always tell everybody during football season, don't worry, no matter if your team won or not, Jesus is undefeated. Like, you come in every week, go, yeah, won again. And this whole idea of praying in the Spirit is so important because you serve a God that is more than your words. And he doesn't need your words to have a relationship with you, right? And you don't have to know what to say to him for him to move in your life. There's just, I'm telling you, doesn't that make perfect sense, actually? I mean, who's God if it's all based on my words? And so the scripture says, Romans 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You've got a season in front of you, and you need a lot more than what you know to pray for. I'm just telling you, it's more. It's more, and the scripture's so clear. I want to encourage you, is the idea of praying in the Spirit is a diving board or is it a dead end in you? Which one is it? Because in the end, what I realized about praying in the Spirit, I'll show you a few more scriptures, is this idea of something that's full, it overflows. And that includes this thing right here. But half the time, how am I supposed to describe who God is, how wonderful he is? And what I want to do is it's not about me speaking in tongues. It's about me just being so in love with God. Yeah, like everything in me needs to respond to what I'm experiencing right now. There's more than I can say right now. And I want to encourage you that one of the ways we stay dependent on the Spirit is we stay praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And so it's actually a practical way that as I face these, like, where did the disciples start to change the world? By praying in the Spirit. Let me start by just focusing on him. Jesus doesn't even talk about praying. He doesn't talk about speaking in tongues. Just focus on me. But the human body, just lost my glasses, the human body is made to respond to greatness. And it's going to come out here as much as every place else. So obviously, people have been conditioned to act certain ways in church, right? And it's just the way you've been trained, okay? It's just your personality type and the personality of your denomination or your church. That's what it is, because you can't tell me when you're in front of the TV the way you respond to victory isn't who you really are. Well, hey, come to church and respond the same way. Now, order, thoughtfulness, sure, all those things. But I want to encourage you, this is a diving board. This is a step-in moment. To say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Look at these words. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You're in a war, right? All spirituality is not good, right? Like, I'm just spiritual. Okay. Well, there's all sorts of spiritual, okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of the evil. Of evil in the heavenly realms. Notice what Paul says as he goes through the armor of God. He says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what's next? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. We're in the middle of this war. We need the gift and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray when we don't know what to pray. We need to pray when we don't know what to pray. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, tongues, for I'll do this, and I'll also pray in understanding. We're going to look at that next. It's an important part of our lives as people of Christ. Application number 3, praying in the Spirit always leads to practical and humble living that changes your world. Because I love, Peter has this amazing moment, and he says, hey, let me explain to you. Let me take some time with you. Let me do something really practical and simple. And so we're not so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We're actually we're better for the earth when we are lost in his presence more and more. And, it's really just about 5 loaves, 2 fish. You know, we're gonna say what I got, I'm going to use, or am I just going to live in fear and am I going to complain my way to the end of my life, you know? Because somehow complaining is going to fix what's going on in my life, right? There's so much I want to say there. We talked about the Thomas Dale back to school night. We did the first ever all Spanish for any public school in Chesterfield County. We did the first all Spanish back to school night, And we had 80 people from the Hispanic community show up to this thing. And you know what we did? I mean, all we did was saying we saw the need in our community. Our principal over at Thomas Dale we work with, it was great to hear about all these schools we're loving. And talking to the Thomas Dale principal, he says, Sean, I got 272 Hispanic families in my, not students, families in my school. If I want to send them an email or communication in Spanish, there's one place I send it in central office, and I have to give them a two-week turnaround time. So there's 272 families that I can't communicate with who care about their kids just as much as you and I care about our kids. And so we're like, well, we've got 5 loaves, 2 fish. We've got a great Hispanic leadership here. Why don't we just have a back-to-school night in Spanish? And he's like, you do that? I'm like, absolutely, we'll do it. So we did it, right? The last time Chesterfield Public Schools tried to have a night for Hispanic families in Spanish to help them, they got 20 people from the whole county. We got 80 from one school in one shot, right? And there's Carrie Coyner, our school board representative. She was one of the people there. Our leadership heard about it. It's like, we want to be there. And our county. And there's Daniel over there, our drummer, who's leading the interpretation. And I got up to share and welcome everybody in Spanish and tell them about how they're important to God. And then Daniel got a chance to do it. Then Daniel's mom and dad got a chance to do it. And like, we had this back-to-school night where 20% of the whole time of the back-to-school night was us telling them about our church and about how much God loves them. Can you imagine going to a public school back-to-school night and 20% of the time are Christians saying, hey, you should come to our church and, you know, God loves you and we're praying for you? Well, we just did it. Just totally happened. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And we've got all sorts of requests coming in. And yeah, and then the next day, our school superintendent and school board, they had a faith leader breakfast, and they took a bunch of time to talk about what God just did through us, right? Change the world. Were we trying? Nope. Just of a different spirit. Why don't we just help? Let's take our 5 loaves, 2 fish. Observation 4, the people were told to call on the Lord for forgiveness to receive fullness. And I just want to finish up with this idea that God expects you to call. And I don't know, a lot of times the issue of baptism in the Holy Spirit has very little to do with our theology, has a ton to do with our control. It's just, I don't want to. You know? I'm not saying, you let God, there's no rush. Just let Holy Spirit keep speaking to you. But I'm just saying, we got a call. I think a great place to begin is actually singing during worship service. It's this crazy idea you could start doing. You know, you could actually sing while we're singing. Now, I'm not saying you got to sing like the other person next to you. I'm just saying, call on them. Like, if all of you includes your mouth, then maybe your mouth should say something to them. I don't know. It just seems like that's all of you. So I don't know, you know, in the end, what we say and what we do have to line up, right? And so I just think there's this place that says, I need to call on him more. And honestly, and again, I'm not trying to stick it to you. I'm just trying to say it's a lot of pride involved. Just a lot of pride, you know? And believe me, I'm all about make a joyful noise. I'm not sounding great, but I'm just, God said call. Everyone who call on the name of the Lord. It's for you, but you got to call. So I think for some of us here, the big first step is I just need to start worshiping. I need to say, yeah. I need to open up my mouth and say, Lord, I need you. And then some of us would be doing that. It's like, Lord, would you begin to show me what it's like to step into the baptism, step in. I need to get moved a little more. It's great. It's great that God's granted you success by huffing your bucket as long as you have. I'm just telling you, there's more than the Christian life than that, right? And all of us, and I'm not saying anything to you, I don't say to me, I've got to remember that half the time and I'm leading the church. It's like, Sean, it's not about what you can do. Just get on in. But God, I thought we were going this way. We're not. How about jump? Let's go this way. No, I'd like to kick and scream and pout for a little bit more before I go in. You know, it's just, no, just come on, Sean, go my way. Because we can stay silent, or we can start to speak, and we can stay stuck, or inside take a step, right? And I just want to encourage you. I don't know about you, but I love him. I love Jesus. And I want to stop loving him. And I want to stop living for him. And I don't want to stop believing that I can be a better husband or a better father or a better neighbor, right? It's just, I gotta help me step in, God. Help me go this next step. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I think we probably should have a moment of worship, is my guess. Like, God, I want to call out to you. I want you in my life. And what we're going to do in this moment is we're just going to have worship. And so I want to invite you, find that place. Find that place today. I'd also like some of us to just decide to take a moment to be prayed for or to be served like Christ served the first disciples. So when we start worship, we're going to have some elders on the side, and they're going to be here if you'd like someone to pray with you. Just say, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of your presence in my life. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a moment to wash some feet and take a moment to say, just pray a blessing. I think some of us, I don't know, I was thinking about this sermon. I was thinking about what I usually do on my anniversary, and I didn't feel like they were necessarily connected. I was tempted not to do it. And the Lord said, no, you need to do it, Sean. Because some people just need a refresh. They need to know that though they've walked a long time in this world, that they can keep walking, that they don't have to give up. And so the way we do this is we just have a gentleman wash the feet of someone who'd like to have their, or be willing to have their feet washed, and women for women. And we just take a moment to do that. What I'm going to ask is I'm going to lead the way. And I think there are certain elders assigned to be ready for prayer. If during worship, if you just, as you're worshiping and as you're singing, just focus on that. Just focus on loving. You know, when's the last time you just got a little lost in his presence instead of trying to figure out life? And just love him. You'll get where you need to go if you'll just get lost in his presence. And then you may get to the point where it's like, you know, Lord, I need a new beginning. And you may decide you want to pray with somebody, or you may want to, I know it's humbling to get your feet washed, but you may just come down and sit down and wait for someone to wash your feet. That'd be fine too. You may decide that, you know, when's the last time I remembered that I'm a servant? And you might be willing to come down here. And again, there's no right or wrong here, but you may come down and just kneel down and wait for someone to come up that you could wash their feet. It's up to you. But we just, if I could just say it one more time, let's not do what's next without him. Let's have more of him, no matter how long, no matter what we've seen him already do in our lives. Man, let's believe for more. And so I'm going to ask you to stand if you would.